Hey everybody, this is Alan Fine. I'm here with Daniel Skeldam, who is the CEO of HX, which we know is the expedition product of Hurtigruten. And we're celebrating Earth Week with a company that takes the Earth really seriously. They visit 250 destinations, more than 30 countries, and they're on a mission to be the world's most sustainable expedition cruise line. And we're going to find out all about that here on Insider Travel Report. All right, so let's talk about ESG ratings, which is environmental, social, and governance ratings. Why are they important, and how do you rank?
So first of all, ESG rankings are important because it's a lot of greenwashing out in the travel industry today. It's a lot of focus on it, which is a good thing, but it's very important that the ESG message is based on real facts. And that's why we have our ESG reports, which we publish annually. And that's why rankings matter, where companies like Sustainalytics are ranking companies based on their ESG risk, where we score very, very well and best of any cruise line.
That's what I wanted to hear. So, but this isn't the recent thing. I mean, you've been doing this for a very long time. Just the heavy fuel oils ban was 2008, but I bet you there's been sustainability from the beginning.
Yeah, we've had a massive focus on this since we started sailing almost 130 years ago. And this is coming from our people. They live and breathe these regions like Svalbard and Greenland and Antarctica and Galapagos. They see nature, they see the communities, they see the need for this. So this has been driven from inside the company and has made us be very much ahead of the curve on this. But this is not a match that we're going to win alone. So we want everyone to focus on ESG because that's just making the world of tourism better, and it's creating better products for the guests. Because if they can come back from their trips feeling really good about themselves, if they can arrive in small communities in Greenland or the Northwest Passage where they're welcomed because we're creating value in these communities, they're also going to feel that come through the guests. So it's a win-win situation, this ESG part of the tourism industry.
So that's one landmark, was the 2008 heavy fuel oils ban, but also plastics, 2018, first battery hybrid powered cruise ship, 2019. But tell us about in 2015 when you guys got really serious with the Hurtigruten Foundation.
Hurtigruten Foundation is a key part, and you mentioned a lot of the other milestones that we have, but Hurtigruten Foundation is something that I am really, really passionate about and proud about, because that's giving back to communities. We raise money through both the company, what we do, but also through our guests to give back to places that we sail and to local initiatives that can apply for funding, and then we use that funds to create better communities. Everything from creating a teacher's accommodations in Guinea-Bissau to giving back to Greenland and Association of Greenlandic Children to help fund beach cleanups on Svalbard.
Yes, we have to remember the sustainability also involves people, and we're going to talk about your pillars in a moment. There was another goal that you achieved. All your ships are getting their power from the shore. How much does that actually save?
It's very important, and this is again back to the community link, because we have to acknowledge that when a cruise ship comes to town, there is a lot of emissions coming out of that cruise ship. So by having shore power on our ships, we're basically able to plug in when we arrive in a port and shut down the engines, which is a massive contribution to local emissions. And if you also pair that with the battery hybrid technology that we are doing, and that all our ships sail on marine gas oil, not heavy fuel oil, and a lot of other contributions, then it's starting to make an impact.
I think of it as like if you were idling your car at the cruise port for the overnight.
Yeah, it's like if you are going to the grocery store, yeah, and you're letting your engine on. No one does that.
Yeah, no. So now let's talk about those ESG pillars: emissions, nature, community, and people, one at a time, starting with emissions.
Yeah, so these are our ESG pillars that we measure ourselves on every year. So this is for two reasons. First of all, we want to keep ourselves accountable, and we want to see our development from year to year. And second, it's about being transparent. Because again, back to the greenwashing that it's a lot of out there, being transparent and making public our results, our targets, and how we are doing every year is a good way to be very transparent on how we're doing. And on emissions, we are very, very happy to see that our emissions on CO2 level is declining with 18%. NOx is declining with more than 50%. And also SOx is declining with 46% from last year. So really good numbers. On nature, It's really important to measure ourselves on how we do on the nature as well. And we see some really good impact on reduction in food waste and a lot of other measures. But let me also talk about communities. Because, again, we are guests in these communities. It's so important for us as an operator that we act like a guest and that we contribute and make these communities successful, that we create value there, and that we help them build sustainable travel practices in the communities. And that's one of the things we do, is buy locally. More and more we buy locally from the communities to do food and beverage on board of our ships, but we also give back through Hurtigruten Foundation to local initiatives.
This is how you help the people.
Exactly.
One of the other things that I'm happy about, and you should be proud about, is you're not buying your way out of this thing. You're not going to pay for carbon credits. You're going to do something.
Yeah, it's also a debate we're trying to raise in the industry, because it's part of a lot of companies are paying their way out of this by buying quotas.
Wimps.
That's the challenging thing about quotas is that it's very many of these quotas that are sold one times, two times, three times, four times, and it's very difficult to measure. So it's more that, you know, you're gonna feel good or make guests feel good. We are putting that money into reducing our emissions by technology, introducing batteries, using environmentally friendly fuel, and all sorts of things that we can actually measure the impact of.
And you're committing to your target dates, and you're making it so far. Let's talk about where you're heading.
Yeah, we're heading towards zero emissions. That's absolutely clear. And we have built a plan through our ESG report on when we are going to be on scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3, zero emissions. And that's from scope 1 is zero emissions from the ship's operation. And then taking that to all the way to scope 3, where also shipbuilding and associated activities are zero emissions. And that's where we need to go as an industry. And having clear milestones that we track ourselves to every year is the way to make this story transparent and credible.
And all of this science trickles down to the guest who's not coming to see a Broadway show. They want to see the scientists. And you guys are actually a platform for research, which I think is pretty exciting.
Exactly. And I think that is also something that is very important in today's expedition cruising, is that, first of all, our ships double as a science platform. We have science centers on board all our ships. We have hospitant scientists that do real science. And one of the things that made me most happy on the ESG report is that we've doubled the amount of cruise nights we've given to science, from about 1,000 to almost 1,900 cruise nights a year is given away to scientists that use our ships as a floating science lab. And they don't only do their own science, they're actually involving guests in their science and letting them do citizen science. And, you know, the research institutions today, they're not always well-funded. And having our ships as a floating laboratory for them is making their access to these regions much easier, which also helps on nature.
Absolutely. Now let's do some big picture stuff. How many in the fleet, new ships, new itineraries? Let's do that stuff now.
It's a lot of new exciting stuff happening. We have one itinerary which we're super interested in that we're going to drop a few weeks from now. It involves in-depth sailing to the coast of Norway, and let's get back to the details later. So that we're super excited about. And we also want to expand the fleet in the future. At the moment, we're super focused on the brand change because we need to get people to know HX. It's still Hurtigruten Expeditions, but it's expedition arm, it's all-inclusive, it's very different from the product that we do on the coast of Norway that we're also very proud of. So our focus at the moment is to get this known to everyone in the American market, Ajax, Hurtigruten Expeditions, what are we, what do we stand for, and what can they expect when they send guests on our ships.
All right, so the travel advisors need to know, they need experience, so what programs do you have for them?
We want to bring as many travelers supervisors on board our ships as possible. We're very happy to have a fam trip for our travel advisors in North America in September on board Fridtjof Nansen between Seattle and Vancouver. We're also encouraging as many travel advisors as possible to go to Antarctica, to Galapagos, to experience the product, because we know that when they come back, first of all, they know expedition cruising well, which is a growing segment, a hugely growing segment of the cruise industry. We also know they can bring more knowledge to their clients. And we know that when our guests come back and their clients come back, they're super happy. So it's a win-win to send travel advisors on board. We want to do it as much as possible, and we offer a lot of programs to make that happen.
Now, the travel advisor is trying to put the right client on the right ship. So who's the guest? I mean, one thing I can say from the reporting that my partner and I have done is that you are upscale, approaching luxury, if not luxury. That's got to be a selling point for the travel advisors. And what else? Who's the guest?
Absolutely. And we call it experiential luxury. Okay. And that's about this not being about a tuxedo. It's not being about what kind of suit you wear for the dress-up evenings.
We're overdressed, right?
We're a bit overdressed here today. You can come like this on a ship too, but you don't have to. Okay. It's the nature, the experience, the community is in the center, and you eat and dine well. But you can show up in our fine dining restaurants in your woolen sweater that you just did a long hike in or a landing in. So it's a very laid-back atmosphere that we call experiential luxury.
Where do travel advisors go to now? Is there a portal and learn how to sell and to get on that trip?
We have a very good team in the Americas led by Sherilyn that and a lot of great BDMs that will follow up the travel advisors. But the easiest way is to go to travelhx.com and then sign up, and then they will be able to train and get to know our product and our itineraries very, very well. We love our travel advisors in HX, and we want to really use the travel advisors to get people to know about expedition cruising. Because again, it's a growing segment. The guests are super happy when they come back, and that's a huge opportunity for travel advisors across North America.
Well, I want to thank you for talking to us. I wish you great luck, and fill up that September trip.
It's already filled up, so there's a lot of interest on it, and we're going to do it more. That's for sure. And thank you, Alan, for taking the time.
And this is Alan Fine for Insider Travel Report.